Welcome to Generation Now, the show by and for millennials and Gen Z. I am your host, Troy McDonald. This is a show that I've been looking forward to for a long time. My guest today is a lightning rod in the political landscape that has changed the ecosystem and given a new face to what is possible for young people in politics. He's one of the fastest rising stars in the Democratic Party here in the area, and at 23 years old, one of the youngest aldermen ever elected in the city of Racine. Please welcome Alderman Trevor Young to the program.
Thank you, Trevor. How you doing? Thank you, Troy. It's an honor to be here. I'm living the dream in Racine.
Living the dream in Racine. So let's talk about this. This is we're filming this show. We're taping this show, folks, on Tuesday in the middle of the Democratic National Convention, of which you are a delegate. Talk about how you got selected to be a delegate, how that process was, and the difference between what your schedule would have been normally during this week.
Well, Troy, obviously, when the delegate selection process began, there were so many unanswered questions about the spread of COVID-19 and where it would be in the summer, especially late summer after the DNC decided to push back the overall convention. And so the process of being a delegate is one of being nominated by your county party to the congressional district. And then from the congressional district, all of the participating Democrats who are card-carrying members of the party, then voting for who they want to send to the Democratic National Convention to represent the first congressional district for either Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders. And so I ran as a Joe Biden delegate because I believe that he is exactly what this country needs in order to save the soul of this nation. You know, here we have a pandemic that's sweeping across the nation unchecked. You have racial division that is being, propped up by a president who has demonized difference. And you have an economy in freefall. And so my reason for wanting to become a delegate and supporting Joe Biden is here you have somebody who has experience bringing folks together, saving an economy, and ensuring that public health is a priority across the United States and across the globe. And so I was excited to go through the selection process to be a delegate and then eventually be elected by my peers as Democrats to be sent to the convention.
So talk about your schedule this week.
It's all Zoom all the time. Now, of course, it would have been like a life-changing experience to be this age, to go to a convention as a delegate, and to experience democracy in the halls of the Pfizer Forum. That would have been a gift. But, you know, the Democratic Party made the right call, and they took the spread of COVID-19 seriously from the beginning. And so I think while there is disappointment of delegates, we're making the best of a situation because of a responsible decision that was made. You know, the Democrats right out of the gate said, we're going to prioritize public health. This is while Donald Trump, the president, moved the convention from North Carolina to Florida because he wanted to host something in person. And then as you saw spikes in Florida, then that changed the direction of the current president. This is while Joe Biden and the Democrats said, we're taking this seriously from day one, and we're going to make a decision that's in the best interests of Milwaukee's health, the best interests of Wisconsin, and the best interests of the delegates who are attending the convention. So I am disappointed, but I know it was the right move. And so what my schedule looks like now over Zoom is attending caucus meetings, watching the speakers in the evening, and cheering for the home team. And while it may be different, and I'm not able to join a hospitality suite and party with my fellow party members, I'm still able to celebrate what it means to be a Democrat and what it means to elect Joe Biden and Kamala Harris president and vice president in November.
I want to touch on kind of the division within the Democratic Party, right? You are 23. How did you come to the decision to support Joe Biden? And have you faced pushback from other young Gen Zers and millennials?
Yeah, as a young person, I think that there is something special about our generation, and it is that we are civically engaged, we are aware of differences, and we embrace those differences as a part of what it means to be an American. And as a generation that's concerned about the environment, concerned about equity, concerned about the legacy that we leave behind, you've got a lot of folks who are idealistic and excited about making a difference. And I think that there's more in common with Joe Biden supporters and Bernie Sanders supporters than the media makes it out to be. You know, it is not extreme to say that if you work hard, you should be able to support yourself and your family. It's not extreme to say that it doesn't matter what your income is. If you get sick, you should have health care. It's not extreme to say that we need to protect our environment and do what we can to transform the economy to the 21st century that invests in green jobs. You know, these things are not radical ideas that are solely owned by, the left wing of the party. This is something that we all agree on, and it's just how do we achieve the ends is where the debate is. And that's the wonderful thing about being a part of the Democratic Party is the debate is about how do we solve these problems, not whether or not these problems exist. And so, we have more in common than there are differences. And so when I have conversations with, Sanders supporters, especially early on in the campaign, it was really discovering that rather than finding those differences.
You are elected in Racine, you're serving as alderman. Do you find it difficult to straddle those two worlds? Because you are one of the, interesting politicians that is supported by both sides of the party. Do you find it hard to straddle those two worlds? Or is it like what you're saying, that the party is a big tent and we all agree on the issues? But you're one of the rare politicians that both sides like in the Democratic Party.
Well, I appreciate that. And I'm sure there would be pushback from some. But at the end of the day, the thing that everybody appreciates is authenticity. If you are leading with your heart, if you share your story, if you listen, that's what brings people together. The litmus test and where you stand on the issues is much less important than the way you approach engaging other people who care. And so I've always made it my motto to listen more than I speak, to engage folks that I have differences with, to learn from them. And because of that, there have been moments where I've changed my mind on issues. And it's been a wonderful lesson, especially to participate in dialogue with my friends who are active in the Democratic Party as well. And the wonderful thing about actually being elected on the city council and my involvement with the Democratic Party is those two things really are different experiences. On the city council, what I've learned is that people really care more about, are you filling the potholes? Are you, making sure that, the institutions of local government are effectively serving people? Those are not partisan issues. Those are not issues that have a deer in our next to their name. But what I will say is that having a strong, government led by leaders like Joe Biden at the national level will make it easier for me to do my job on the city council in the city of Racine. And let me tell you why. There is five T's in my mind to Racine's success. You've got transportation, training, talent, technology, and tourism. Those are the five elements in my mind that will make Racine a healthy, dynamic community that will grow and provide opportunity for all. And in order for Racine to be able to move forward and make those types of investments, we need partners at the state and the federal level who believe in the role of common sense government to improve the quality of life for people here in the city of Racine. And so transportation is a great example. Here you have Joe Biden, who is a proud Amtrak rider who not only used the service, but understands the importance of mass transit in providing access to education, opportunity, healthcare, and expands people's access to those things. And so investing in mass transit, partnering with the federal government to be an ally to local government is going to be critically important for Racine to meet the 21st century. And you saw that with the stimulus package that was created by the Obama-Biden administration. The President Barack Obama and Vice President Joe Biden entered office in the throes of one of the most dramatic economic recessions that we had seen since the Great Depression. And they said, this is our moment to invest in the things that make these communities healthy. And so you saw dollars come in from the federal government to the city of Racine, which really saved the operations of local government and made sure that we could keep the payroll and also innovate with, you know, things like transportation, for example. And so, having leadership at the federal level who believes in that type of partnership is critically important.
Right. The five T's. Take notes, people. So I want to move on to, you mentioned heart, right? And I want to talk about how you got to this point, how you developed your heart space. You were born in Russia.
Yeah,
you were adopted in the United States. Talk about your journey here, what you remember of it, and what led you to get involved in politics?
Well, I thank you for the opportunity to share my story. You know, I was born in Russia, and my mother, she wasn't able to take care of me. And so I was put in an orphanage until I was 2 years old in Krasnodar, which is just north of the Caucasus Mountains off of the Black Sea. And, you know, as a Russian orphan, it was my dad, who was a single parent, small business owner in Racine, Wisconsin, fourth generation Racinian, who traveled halfway across the world to save a child from a life of poverty and lack of opportunity. And it was my dad who saved me and who made sure that I had this American upbringing. And so I, you know, participated in Little League Baseball. I was a product of our public schools. And because of that, and that recognition of me knowing that it takes a community to build, to raise a child, and my dad trying the best that he can, I, you know, felt a sense of gratitude and commitment to Racine. And so I went off to university to study urban studies and urban planning with the goal of coming back to Racine to make a greater difference in this community, because I think it has more potential than anywhere else in the country.
And where did you go to school? What college did you go to?
So I went to UW-Milwaukee, and so just up the road. But that opportunity in college to be in the largest city in the state of Wisconsin, you know, interning in City Hall, seeing what does it mean to be a mayor, what does it mean to be an alderman. You know, I interned in Mayor Barrett's office and Alderman Chevy Johnson's office throughout college. And that was an eye-opening experience, because most of my civic engagement had been political and not necessarily in the halls of government. And so that was a wonderful experience, because I got to see, what does it actually mean to implement the ideas that you campaign for? And so, you know, I consider Alderman Chevy Johnson a mentor, who's now the president of the city council up in Milwaukee.
Some people might hate this, but I don't care. There's just some things you can't teach. You got to go in and experience them with your own hands and with your own eyes. And I think that's probably one of them. So you had that experience. How did you develop your ideology, right? How did you become so motivated and so passionate? Because it's one thing to appreciate the American upbringing that you have in your father. It's another thing to say, hey, no, I have to step in here and add my voice to the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, that's a wonderful way to frame it, Troy, because I would say the reason I developed the ideology I have is because of that gratitude. You know, my dad, who's a single parent, small business owner, you know, part of the LGBT community, he faced a lot of, bigotry, quite honestly, when he wanted to start a family. And so as he was raising me, I always wanted to prove to my dad that he was a great dad. And so growing up, I wanted to also make sure that people like my dad, who work hard, who deserve all the dignity and respect that anybody else does, that they were treated that way and that they were able to get by and loved by their community and their neighbors. And so that is the motivation for me, in large part, to commit myself to public service. And so, you know, when we're talking about ideology, really it comes from that place, like you were saying earlier, Troy, about the heart. You know, what is your experience that has informed the way that you exist in this world. And so for me, it comes from a space of recognizing what it truly means to be an American, you know, that immigrant story, that story of being in a place that doesn't provide the same opportunities as this place does. But that's a unique story in my world, but there are so many people, Troy, who are, who've lived in Racine all their lives, whose parents have lived in Racine, their parents have lived in Racine, and they haven't had the same opportunities that I've had as a first generation American. And so that leads us to a discussion about equity. You know, what can we do to make sure that, you know, everybody in this community, everybody in this state and in this country has the same opportunities that I have had. And, you know, we see in the numbers that there are dramatic inequalities. Racine was ranked the second worst place in the nation for African Americans in terms of home ownership, education attainment, income. And so another reason that I am proud to be on the city council during this time is we have a real opportunity to change that, move the needle to make Racine a better place for everybody.
You read my mind, because that's exactly where I was going next in regards to the racial disparities. As you mentioned, Racine, one of the worst places for an African-American. I'm African-American. I'm an LGBTQ citizen. I'm from Kenosha, but there are so many people just like me who are in your city who don't feel that they have a place. What do you say to them?
I say you're the future. At Racine is only going to be as strong as when everybody comes together and feels like this is their home. I think that the most underrated quality of progress, of elements of progress, is when people have pride in their community. And if somebody feels excluded, if somebody feels like they're not a part of what it means to be a Racinian, then we are going to be weaker as a community. And so that type of inclusion, that type of pride that we can instill in everybody, is going to be the engine of progress that is going to exist in Racine. And so, you know, I was proud to be one of the main sponsors on the ban on gay conversion therapy on the city council. That was the first, you know, real legislative achievement that I had on the city council. And we had, you know, hundreds of people come to that council meeting, both, you know, for the ban, who believe in, you know, protecting children and equality and making sure everybody feels loved and respected. But we also had opponents of that legislation who, you know, brought their anger into that space. And so that was my first experience of realizing that it's going to be hard work to make progress, but you can't shy away from the difficult issues. And so I think that, you know, the mayor has had excellent leadership around, you know, following the lead of President Barack Obama in engaging in discussions around police reform. We have a diverse city council that is progressive and that is engaging in discussions around, you know, economic inclusion. So I feel like we're heading in the right direction, but we can't get distracted and we can't keep our eye off the ball, because that is the issue of our time.
Some would argue, to push back, that yes, while representation and feeling inclusion is important, it's also creating levers of access to capital, right? Fair and equal housing, adequate housing. So Absolutely. Would you support some sort of, I don't want to just say reparations in the cash form, but some sort of direct assistance to communities that have been underserved, and not assistance, that's probably a poor way of putting it too, but some sort of program to help those who are underserved in that community have fair access to capital, housing, healthcare, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It's going to be about fair access to capital, housing, healthcare, education, and it's going to take every level of government to make sure that folks have those opportunities who historically have been marginalized. And so, you know, if we look at the city of Racine, we have not shied away from having city dollars in affordable housing and in workforce housing that make sure that people of all incomes have a healthy place to live. And you look at our suburban neighbors who are not taking the lead on creating more, you know, neighborhood diversity. Because at the beginning of the discussion, that's where it begins. You know, if you have diverse neighborhoods and you have access to capital, that's where progress begins and that's where economic inclusion starts. And so, you know, I support any initiative that acknowledges the inequalities that exist systemically and that works to adjust those in order to create a different type of America than we've lived in the past. And so that means that city government needs to take the lead on those issues that you outlined, because that's going to, like I said earlier, that's going to be either the success or the failure of our community.
You are obviously a very seasoned politician, anyone listening, and obviously seasoned in a good way, right? You know what you're talking about. You care about people. What's the future for you? Do you see yourself running for higher office?
You know, being an alderman has been, I'll be honest, has been a real education, because you get there is no avoiding, people's concerns. You know, if you get into a higher level of office, you have, a staffer, if you have, you have somebody who's answering the phones, answering the emails. But when you're an alderman, at least at this level, in this size city, you're the one answering the calls. You're the one answering the emails. And so it is a true education about what it means to get things done for people. And so, right now, I think I have a lot more to learn about public service. I have a lot more to learn about being good at this job, because this is my first year. I had my, older anniversary in April. And so for me, I'm just thinking about what can I do to be a better alderman? Because that's what folks elected me to do. My ambition is really just to make Racine the best place it can be for everybody. And that's the first question I ask if I ever thought of running for something else.
Is if you could love it as much as you do the city of Racine?
Is if being at that next place will result in Racine being stronger. That's the premier question. It's not about, my resume. It's not about, jumping from position to position. It's about, did I get the job done in the current role I'm in? And right now I have a lot of work to do.
Great. So let's talk about, we're winding down. We have a few minutes left here to talk about kind of the rest of your week here on the convention. We're, as I said at the top, we're recording on Tuesday. Have you had a favorite event thus far, a favorite speaker at the convention? We're, like I said, on Tuesday. Someone you're looking forward to?
Well, the governor of Michigan really hit the ball out of the park. I love a good Midwestern governor who can talk about why is it important to elect Democrats up and down the ballot. And, Gretchen Whitmer has been a champion for public health. She's been a champion for the people of the state of Michigan. And so it was great to hear, to hear her approach to her convention speech. And I think Amy Klobuchar, the senator from Minnesota, also delivered a zinger when she said that, the president might be attacking the post office, but pretty soon he's going to need it to change his address. And I thought that that was just the right tone for the first night of the convention. So I'm excited to see Dr. Joe Biden today, which is Tuesday, and then excited to hear, obviously, from our presidential and vice presidential nominee, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, because they're what we need right now. It's about saving the soul of this nation. When you have a president who peddles in conspiracy, who perpetuates hate, who doesn't believe in science, and who is, only cares about his ratings, versus somebody who has a lifelong tenured career in public service and has a track record of making a difference in people's lives, I'm excited about Joe Biden and in his address at the last night of the convention.
If you could go back and tell the young boy who is just coming over to this country and growing up in this country one thing, what would you tell him?
Oh man, Troy, that was a good question. I would say, remember to appreciate all of the kind things people in your life do, and to keep that in the forefront of your mind. Because in politics, it's really easy to get cynical. It's really easy to get upset at the world, but there is so much warmth and kindness that exists, and so much love that exists. And we've got to focus on that, because that's the only way that we can keep the faith, and that we can, keep our head above water during these really challenging times. And so, when there's a difficult call I get from a constituent, or there is a, hard political decision that needs to be made on the city council, I always think back to the kind people who are part of my upbringing, and that gives me strength. And so I would say to that little boy, you know, write those names down. Remember this moment of kindness, because that will be your strength.
Trevor Young, how can people stay in touch with you, follow what you're doing on social media?
Yeah, I mean, I've got an Alderman Facebook page. So it's Alderman Trevor Young. You can follow me on Twitter. My handle is at Trevor SJUNG. That's my more kind of political outlet. If you want to see that side of things, if you want to see city government side of things, that's where the Facebook comes in. But then obviously you can reach out to me at my city email, which is available on the City of Racine's Alderman webpage.
Absolutely incredible. Trevor Young, I can't thank you enough. You're extremely busy, especially this week, but of all weeks now that you are Alderman. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be on the program today.
Troy, I can't wait to come back.
Yes, I know. I was just thinking 30 minutes, it goes by so quickly. I'd love to have you back. Thank you so much, Trevor.
All right, thanks, Troy.
All righty, until next time, everybody.